You're going to step into the interim CEO role. What is something that someone probably doesn't know about you that you can share with us? What is a fun fact about Yael?
Any fun fact?
Any fun fact that you're willing to say on a podcast that's going to go be distributed, Yael. Let's keep it clean.
I mean, it doesn't have to be work-related.
No, it can be, yeah. Just keep it clean, please. Remember, we're a family-oriented show, Yael, please.
Of course.
All right.
I'm not taking us in a new direction, Deborah.
And I know you got some stories you could tell, but let's keep it clean, Yael.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com. Welcome to Austin Hires Local, your inside access to the work behind workforce development, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Join us as we dive deep into conversations with trailblazers across the local, state, and national workforce development ecosystem. From elected officials to industry leaders and educators, we uncover candid insights and innovative solutions shaping our workforce landscape. Get ready to explore the intersection of education, economy, and opportunity. This is Austin Hires Local, where the future of our workforce begins.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Austin Hires Local podcast, where we have on-the-record conversation with leaders from our local community, around the state, and around the country, talk about workforce issues and other issues. My name is Tamara Atkinson, and I have the privilege and honor to be the host of this podcast, but also the privilege and honor to serve as the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. This is my last week and this is my last recording. So in a way, this is my goodbye to all of you. And there's no better, more fitting guest to have as the last guest on the podcast than Yael Lawson, who serves as the Chief Operations Officer for Workforce Solutions. I am so excited to get into a conversation with Yael today, talk a little bit about her memories working together with me and at this organization for 25 years, what Yael's priorities are, and you know, you may find out a fun fact about Yael. But before I start the interview with Yael, I want to just come full circle. My very first podcast was with the mayor. And in that podcast, I actually called the mayor a stripper. And so I think it's only fitting that for my last podcast that I let you know that I'm actually a flasher. Notice this is an Austin Hires Local t-shirt. So, you know, it's theme. But I think you start with the stripper, you end with a flasher. What can be better? So with that, not sure how you top that. With that, I say we jump into the interview. Yael, are you game?
I'm game.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Okay, Yael, so that might have been a little too much for you, that intro, you know, that I just did. Have I ever embarrassed you before?
Now I got to think about it.
You got to think about it, right?
I do, but that is definitely your humor and what I love about working with you and being a friend. Mm-hmm. Your humor is just superior, and your dry humor and just taking the silly things and somehow turning it around where it's appropriate is what I love about you. One of the things I love about you.
Oh, thank you. We've had a lot of fun at Workforce Solutions. We've had, in my recollection, we've had some animal stories related to Workforce Solutions. In our previous office, we fried probably 5 squirrels chewed through an electric. We didn't
fry
them.
They committed suicide.
They committed suicide by chewing on electrical core, a wire. Outside my office here at this office, we had a skunk, I think a family of skunks that lived there. I also recall a year or two ago, we had a raccoon that fell through a ceiling into one of our training rooms. So, and one time
I think I knew it fell through the ceiling.
Here's the story I'm telling myself. This raccoon was looking for a job.
There you go.
And that's what we do. We connect people to jobs. I think we should say we connect all living things to jobs of their choice.
Good times.
So, you know what? It's fun to bring a little bit of fun and levity to the serious work we do. But speaking of serious work, should we get to it? You want to start the interview?
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So there's a question I like to ask all my guests, the very first question, because as you know, Workforce Solutions is about jobs, and we know everyone has to start somewhere. So I'd like to know, actually, I don't know this. What was your first job?
My very first job was babysitting.
Okay.
Now I look back and I was about 12 or 13 and I think, why were these parents letting a 12 or 13 year old watch their child or children? But I was clearly very responsible. But my first W-2 job was actually a neighbor had a printing business and she'd asked if over the summer I wanted to answer phones and do errands, make coffee and things like that. And so she gave me my first opportunity at real work the summer between my sophomore and junior year.
Okay. In high school?
In high school.
Wow. So what do you think you learned from those early jobs that maybe you carry with you now?
I learned professionalism. I learned how to do things timely and when asked. Funny, though, that you ask that because I was thinking, why was I successful in that first W-2 job? And I remember growing up, my grandfather, when I was little, would make me make all of his calls for him. So if he had a business call, he would have me say, may I please speak to Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so? And I would get so mad, like, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this? But in hindsight, after that job and all my jobs after, I realized that he was teaching me professionalism, how to speak to people, how to make a phone call, how to talk to people on the phone. So I'm just grateful to him and to my neighbor who gave me that opportunity.
That's great. Well, thank you for sharing. I've worked with you all these years, didn't know that. Speaking of working with you all these years, you and I've worked together for a minute or two.
A few
years. Tell me, reflect a little bit on your tenure so far at Workforce Solutions. What are some things that you're really proud of that you've been a part of in these last 25 years that we've gotten to work together?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's been so wonderful working with you for 25 years. I can't even believe when I think back, it's almost half my life that I've been working with you, and it's been.
How is that possible when you're only 30?
Right. I mean, duh. But no, it really has been a privilege and to learn from you. And I feel like we've kind of grown up in this business together. Mm-hmm. When we first started, I know my position was brand new, and I had absolutely no clue what to do.
I don't think either one of us did. I don't think they knew it at the time. I don't think we even had imposter syndrome because, like, we probably didn't even deserve to have the jobs.
Maybe not. I don't know.
So you were figuring it out on the job.
I was figuring it out. Yeah. And I created, because I came from the Career Center, I created what I knew was lacking as far as oversight. Once I figured out what the board was, because I honestly had no clue what the board of directors was. I knew what a board was, but I didn't know that there was board staff that actually did the work until I got to the board.
Sure.
So I was able to create a program specialist position, which really oversaw the programs and the performance and helped the contractor to meet all the deliverables. Mm-hmm. And we still have that position today.
Yeah.
And so I'm really, although
you
it's taken a different
it.
Form.
You pioneered it, and now we're still doing it.
That's we're still good. Doing it. It's taken a little bit of a different form, but it's still the essence of it. And then just moving up throughout the years, I've been really blessed with the opportunity to move up and to learn and grow from you. And
we've learned together.
We have.
I want to talk for a second about the board of directors, because I think this is a really good moment to just clarify. Mm-hmm. For our listening audience, they may not understand who the Workforce Solutions board is versus the staff. Can you give us a high-level overview?
Sure. The board of directors is the governing body. Mm-hmm. It is built of leaders in our community, employers and community service institutions, and they drive the mission of the board. Mm-hmm. They oversee our strategies, our tactics at a high level to ensure that we are meeting the community's needs. From there, we have the board staff who actually implement the work of the board of directors and from our funders. So we're the boots on the middle ground, I guess. Or, we're not the boots the, on the ground, high ground.
Or the high heels in your case.
And the high the heels on the ground. There you go. My shoes. Mm-hmm. The high heels mm-hmm. on the ground mm-hmm. that really we develop the policies. We mm-hmm. are the intermediary with our funders and help the board in implementing the strategies that they develop.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. In the 25 years we've worked together, we've had some, we've clearly done a lot of good work. We've had a lot of serious topics mm-hmm. and things we've had to do. We've had a crisis or two we've worked through together, but we've also had some fun times along the way. What is a kind of a fun or funny memory that stands out to you?
I think one of the funniest memories, and one where we'd already been working together probably 15 years mm-hmm. or so, and this is before we had our Google on our phone, and we actually had to print Google Maps.
Oh, yeah.
And we were in Seattle, and a funder had invited us and some other boards. We were the only Texas board, but they invited us to come and present our program. And we realized in that moment when they gave us directions, or they told us about the restaurant that we had to go to, and you and I looked at each other with blank faces, and I said, I don't know how to read a map. And you said, I don't either.
And then I think we looked at the map and we did this, and then we did this. And then like,
I don't even remember how we got there, but
I
that was
either.
A very telling moment. But
what we bonded over that.
We did bond over that. But what was also great about that conference was it was a private funder. Mm-hmm. And they fed us very well.
Too well.
Every time. It felt like every time there was a break, there was food mm-hmm. and really good food and a lot of it. And I remember the Monday we came back, I was at my desk working and I got a text from you at like 10. You were like, where's my snack? Where's our snacks?
I was like, where are the bagels and cream cheese and fruit? Like it's 10 o'clock. Yeah. I had breakfast 2 hours ago. Right. I should be eating
for
again.
For like almost a week, they were feeding us. I think it was like 4 days. They were feeding us round the clock.
Yeah.
Good times.
Good times. So what I hear you saying is getting lost and eating.
Those are good times.
Maybe that applies to a lot of our 25 years together.
Probably
getting
does.
Lost and eating too much. Yeah. I want to kind of shift to a more serious note, but still fun. So Yayo, you are on the cusp of being the interim CEO and being at the helm of this great organization. The community really wants to know, like, what are your priorities? So can you share with me, what are you going to be focused on as interim CEO?
I have three priorities. The first one is strengthening service delivery and technology.
Okay.
The second is diversifying funding. And the third is staff development and leadership. I'll tell you the first about service delivery and technology.
Yeah.
As a workforce board, we've always run programs, mm-hmm. But we want to be seen in a different light. We want to be seen as the workforce experts of our community.
Okay.
It doesn't mean we have to do it all, but we really are. We have our hands on the data. We have the latest information on the labor market currently and even in the future. And so we're transforming our system
sure.
to one of navigation where we have navigators. I call them at the front of the house, but that's the first step in the process. When a job seeker comes in to work with us, they sit down with a navigator who helps them to explore all of their options, mm-hmm. whether they're seeking services from us or if we send them to a workforce partner. We want to help guide them and let them know of all of their options. And so whether that be going to work, mm-hmm. whether it be an earn and learn, or perhaps they do need training, or perhaps they need wraparound supports that we can't provide, we want to be able to make that referral for them, but then give them a plan that they can come back to in the future.
So I think what I'm hearing you say is individualized, personalized in career navigation.
Correct.
Is that, and meeting people where they are. Is
correct.
That right?
Correct. And now, being the navigator for our community, the workforce navigator.
So why is it important that that's one of your priorities? Like people could say, okay, yeah, but why now? Why is that important mm-hmm. now?
The Infrastructure Academy was really the impetus behind it. Mm-hmm. When we looked at the network that we're building, because it isn't just about workforce solutions and scholarships, it's about all of our training providers, all of our employers,
yeah.
all of our community-based organizations. And so that really was the driving force. Mm-hmm. And then when we looked at our system, I looked at what was missing. And we have people that can talk to people about jobs. We have people that can enroll them in a program. Mm-hmm. But we didn't have anybody who truly was able to navigate for all of the options in our community, sure. and even all of the options at Workforce Solutions mm-hmm. that somebody can tap into. So that really was the impetus behind
it. So that's a lot for a staff member to keep up with. Are mm-hmm. you... How is Workforce Solutions going to ensure that those navigators have access to the information?
Well, the navigators don't have a caseload. That's okay. first and foremost.
Oh, that's
so they
okay.
are not working that caseload. They're not determining eligibility. They're really just having conversations with people.
Nice.
And helping to determine the best route and then guiding that person, giving them a plan with steps to follow through or okay. making that referral somewhere. But it does involve continuous training, meeting with training providers to learn about their options, knowing when classes start, connecting with the various departments
yeah.
in our organization to know what earn and learn opportunities, what trainings we're able to fund right now. So it does take some coordination and training, but we have a team of four,
okay.
and I believe we will be hiring two more.
This episode is brought to you by Texas Mutual Insurance Company, the state's leading provider of workers' compensation insurance. Since 1991, Texas Mutual has been helping employers prevent workplace accidents. To learn more about how Texas Mutual provides a competitively priced source of workers' comp insurance for Texas employers, visit www.texasmutual.com.
Right. Tell me about your second priority. Go a little deeper in that.
The second priority is diversifying funding.
Okay.
We are blessed in Texas mm-hmm. that we have, and I can say that I'm a Texan now. After being here for 28 years, I think mm-hmm. I can say mm-hmm. that I'm a Texan. But we in Texas have a lot of funding at our disposal. We are the only state that has childcare, for example. Mm-hmm. However, a lot of boards only rely on their federal funding. And given the ups and downs of that, it isn't as good of a strategy, I think, as perhaps it used to be.
Okay.
And so under your leadership, mm-hmm. we have always ventured out into whether it be private philanthropy or local funding sources mm-hmm. from our city and county.
Yeah.
And that's how we've been able to create a lot of programs that have supplemented our federal programs.
Sure.
So the way that I look at it is our federal programs scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are big dollars, and
yeah.
so we can scale. But our local dollars allow us to customize and really work with those priority populations or services that we want to deliver that are important to us in our community.
That's great.
And most boards don't do that. And mm-hmm. we're blessed in Austin that our community and our city and county have invested in us over the years, and particularly now with the Infrastructure Academy and the investment from the city and the child care and after school time grant, which is the affordable child care program that we'll be implementing in October. And that is from the county.
Okay. So far, if I'm following, you've got individualized career navigation to help people find their right path. You've got diversified funding so that maybe eventually we are not quite so dependent on federal funding, mm-hmm. but we also can meet our local needs. What's your third?
Internal staff development and leadership.
Okay.
As we work with job seekers and we help them grow into their careers, we want to do that internally.
Mm-hmm.
One of our core values is leadership,
mm-hmm.
and you and I are an example of that, and we have several examples within our staff where we really do promote from within.
Mm-hmm.
We invest in our staff. Our staff are important to us, and we want them to know that, and we want them to develop because the sign of a great leader is developing others.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to also give them the tools that they need to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think artificial intelligence is going to change our jobs or take our jobs away because there is a level of analytical thinking. And
mm-hmm.
we are people focused, and that's what people come to us
mm-hmm.
for, right? They can go to Indeed, but they come to us because we have a person there that can help them. But we can certainly give our staff the tools to enable them to be more successful and grow into their leadership roles.
Yeah, I agree with you on those, Yael. I actually think this is the time to be investing in our workforce, regardless of what company, what agency mm-hmm. you're in, because we're at a time of significant technological disruption. You mentioned AI. I'm so glad you did. I know Workforce Solutions has been leaning into AI more and more, and mm-hmm. I'm confident under your leadership, you'll continue and grow that even more. But it is time it is the right time for us mm-hmm. to be developing the staff. So I'm glad to hear you say those three. That's a pretty ambitious list. For the community that's watching, listening to this podcast, yeah, what do you want the community to know about your leadership? What can they expect to see from you? How are you going to show up in the community? Like, what do you want them to know about you?
I want the community to know that I care. I've grown up. When I say I've grown up, I really have grown up in this system from mm-hmm. a career advisor to the board, various levels of the board. And I look at the people that we serve as my neighbors because mm-hmm. they are. And mm-hmm. I want the best for our community. And so when I show up, no matter what I'm showing up for, whether it be working on our CCOST or our Texas Workforce Commission programs, I'm showing up with our client in mind mm-hmm. to ensure that we have the services that meet their needs and that we're delivering them in a way that meets their needs, is easily accessible, and that we're customer-centered.
You know, I'm not surprised to hear you say you want the community to know that you care and that you led with that, because one of my memories, fond memories of you and our time together, is when, as a team, we took a skills, a personality assessment. And what I remember about that is you scored the highest on really caring for people, wanting mm-hmm. to connect with people. So I have every reason to believe you're going to bring that enthusiasm mm-hmm. for building bridges and connections to this job. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be fantastic. I have another question for you. What should I know about you that you think I don't know? Or what is something that someone probably doesn't know about you that you can share with us? What is a fun fact about Yael?
Any fun fact?
Any fun fact that you're willing to say on a podcast that's going to go be distributed, Yael. Let's keep it clean.
I mean, it doesn't have to be work-related.
No, it can be, yeah. Just keep it clean, please. Remember, we're a family-oriented show, Yael, please.
Of course.
All right.
I'm not taking us in a new direction, Tamara.
And I know you got some stories you could tell, but let's keep it clean, Yael.
Oh, goodness. What don't you know about me? I was on Romper Room when I was a kid.
But you did that one. Did you get paid for it?
No.
Okay.
My mom had to submit because
I was going to say, that's your first job. No.
It was filmed in Oakland, California. And my mom had to submit, like, she had to respond to surveys and paper surveys, mail things in. And that was, I don't even know, do you know what Romper Room is?
It
was
a little. Vaguely.
Okay. Well, then maybe that's not a good example.
No, it's a great example. For those of us, for the kids in the mm-hmm. audience, describe Romper Room.
Right. It was a national TV show. It wasn't just
so you're
local.
A national TV star.
I am a
star.
National TV star.
So you should have led with that.
5 years old.
I am
old.
A national TV star.
I'm a national
Don't
TV star.
Don't you forget it.
It was just a show where they had kids. I forget, they had the teacher type person, and we would learn about different things. Like, I remember Smokey the Bear came and we learned about forest fires. Mm-hmm. And then what was really special though is the next week she would have this looking glass and she would say, I'm looking at, and all the kids the week before. So Aww. You got to look the next week for your name being said.
That's great. Did that give you a taste for wanting to be on TV?
No.
Absolutely not. I have a fun fact about you that the audience may not know that I'm going to share. Several years ago, maybe 10-ish years ago, I made a reference to Luckenbach, Texas. And you didn't know where Luckenbach, Texas was, or know the song. And so I think our relationship nearly ended at that point.
And I just got a divorce.
And because your husband couldn't believe you didn't know.
Exactly.
So so just so you know, it's a good thing that you quickly learned the song. And I now know it's one of your favorite songs, right? You play it daily?
Absolutely.
No. Okay.
So my Texas card is taken away.
Okay, yeah, give it back. Have you actually been to Luckenbach yet?
I have.
Oh, okay.
I have been to Luckenbach.
See, you can keep your Texas card.
I did go to the dance hall, so okay. Absolutely.
All right, that's great. Thanks for sharing
Notice I didn't bring that story up for a reason.
Oh, no, is there a story kidding. About being a, okay,
no,
now I got to go there.
No, just embarrassed that I didn't know Luckenbach. No, just that I didn't know the song.
Well, but you know what? We all can learn. And we all make mistakes, Yael, and we all can learn.
Speaking of Texas, yeah. One of my favorite memories of you was, and I don't think we'd been working together that long, I got to my desk and there was a newspaper clipping. It was about this big. And
yeah, back when people read the newspaper.
When people read the newspaper, it had non-native Texas pests. And it had a fire ant and some sort of bug. And then it had a surfer guy and it said Californian. I love that. It's still in my desk.
And you need to tell the audience where you're from.
I'm from the Bay Area in California.
In California. So, and you know, to my knowledge, you have held on to that newspaper clipping.
I still have it. It's in my desk.
And you, every year when I do or say something you don't like, you say you're going to take that clipping to HR with a complaint against me.
I do. I haven't taken one yet.
You got though. 1 week left, Yael, to take it in.
I might bring the list.
I'm sure it's a long one. All right, Yael. So it has been wonderful to have you on the record talking mm-hmm. to me. I've learned a thing or two about you that in the 25 years I didn't know. So I just want to say thank you so much to you for the years of your leadership, of everything you have given your heart and your soul to Workforce Solutions, and for your friendship. It's really meant a lot to me. And I don't think I could have been nearly as successful had it not been for you working beside me all these years.
Well, thank you. I feel the same. You've not only been a supervisor, a boss, a leader, but you've been a friend and a mentor. And you've believed in me, even when I didn't always believe in myself.
Well, you deserved it, and you have risen to every challenge and occasion. And the good news in all this is we're still going to be able to work together.
Absolutely.
But you are ready for the challenge in front of you, and I will be your biggest cheerleader.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for listening to Austin Hires Local, powered by Workforce Solutions Capital Area. To learn more about what you heard today or to see what Workforce Solutions Capital Area can do for you, visit WFSCapitalArea.com. To stay updated on new episodes, subscribe to Austin Hires Local on your podcast app of choice. Until next time.